from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, you have to weigh that in, but I think he's picked it up well. You know, Chad Morton's his coach. I think his coach has done a really good job. Jennifer's been working with him on the side, too, and I think both those guys have done a really good job of partnering with Velas and putting his best foot forward. And really, you see some of his explosiveness. He's explosive. He's got good lean mass. He can knock it forward. So he's done some really good things.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
It's Harris and Herron broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And that was Matt Eberflus discussing the evolution, if you will, of one Bayless Jones Jr. He had more nice things to say about Mr. Jones Jr. than I did, and had some good things to say, but I'm just like, hey, man. I seen it.
Kick rocks.
I know what it is.
Kick rocks, Bayless.
We wish you,
quote, Marshall Harris.
We wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, it's a more pleasant way to send someone.
Yeah, okay.
Packing.
Yeah. I don't want to tell anyone to kick rocks. We are an inclusive show here at 670 The Score. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone. And with that in mind, we now welcome in Herb Howard, Chicago Bears beat reporter from It's the Bigs. And guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Herb, it's always great to talk to you, bro. I'm just curious, are you in a kick rocks mood, or are you like, hey, Bayless, we're going to make some room for you on this roster?
Yeah, I've been of the mindset that Bayless has a skill set that a football team should be able to find a way to use. He's, you know, 6'2", 215. He's got 4.3 speed. He's not a receiver. He doesn't run great routes. He doesn't track the ball very well, doesn't have natural hands. But once he does have the ball, he is a very dynamic playmaker. And I think as a football team, you should be able to find a way to use that skill set.
So how do you see the Bears striking that balance? Because there's understandable patience with a third-round pick and, you know, whatever degree. We've seen Ryan Poles at times has been willing to make hard choices and usher guys out of town. So I don't necessarily think he would hesitate to cut Velas if he thought it was what was best for this team. Is that what would be best for this team, though? Because it is a deeper and more talented roster than Velas has ever encountered at this point in his Bears career.
Yeah, I guess it would just depend on, you know, how big of a package they thought they would use him in, and if that's worth foregoing a roster spot for somebody else who may use it in a different way via special teams or whatever it is. I think you're talking about DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert getting the majority of the carries offensively anyway. Velas Jones certainly isn't your punt returner. I think he can still be a dynamic kick returner for you, but you have other guys who can also do that. I think Ryan Poles has shown himself to be more than willing to admit a mistake or admit a miss and move on. A lot of GMs are not willing to do that. He is. That being said, I just am still of the mindset that Velas Jones is a person. You can get the ball in his hands 6-7 times a game. He's likely to get you 2 or 3 explosives, and I think that's worth trying to find a roster spot for him if you can.
Okay, so you're of the mindset they should try to find room for him. With that in mind, knowing there's only 53 spots, who do you think maybe people are looking at that will be on this team that wouldn't be on this team if Velas was to be on the team?
Just looking at the position, I would look at Travis Homer. I know he's a core special teams guy, and they like him a lot, but I think there are things there. There are other place people that you can use, especially considering the new kick return rules and all those types of things. There are different body types that are now being put into play for some of those things like kickoff coverage and return. So I think that he would be a guy I would kind of look at early in the process and say, okay, do I value what he brings in the kicking game more than the potential explosives that Velus could bring? Then you look at other positions. Talk about wide receiver, and a lot of times you want to keep six. I don't know that this team needs to keep six wide receivers. They have such a wealth of riches at the top of their receiver room that I don't know they need to keep, you know, many more past Tyler Scott, and then you get into maybe a Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter conversation. I don't know that they need to keep, you know, six or seven receivers on this particular roster because the three guys at the top are so good. Plus, you got two tight ends that you want to get the ball to. You're going to throw the ball to the running back a number of times as well. So that may be a place where you can kind of trim the numbers a little bit. Maybe linebacker. They got a lot of good linebackers, but it's still only so many times they're going to be on the field. Jack Sanborn, you know, obviously he plays in the base, but they're not even in base the majority of the time. And so the guys that are behind him, while they have shown themselves to be very, very effective when they've been on the field, that may be another position that you can look at and say, oh, maybe we can play the numbers game there. So it just depends on, you know, the numerical gymnastics that Ryan Poles and his staff and Coach Eberflus and his staff kind of want to play if they think he's worth playing it.
So the Johnsons strike me as guys who have certainly shown flashes, and Colin and Roshan, and I'm not sure what to make of it because they've been just sort of absent for a lot of the preseason in game action. Where are they at physically? Is there much of a chance with either of those guys who – each of them, it would seem, would likely be bottom of the roster kind of guys if they made the active list. But beyond that, are they potential candidates for like PUP or something like that? Do you have a sense for how banged up they are?
I don't really have a sense for how banged up they are. The Bears have been notoriously secretive about injuries throughout the preseason, and whether it's day to day, week to week, or what a guy may or may not be dealing with. Both those guys have missed a lot of time. Colin Johnson had the big game, obviously, with the two touchdowns, and then you haven't really seen him since then. So I don't know that you can put him on your 53. I don't know that you're able to get him to your practice squad either. He does present a bit of a different skill set than a lot of receivers. He's got that big body type that can go up and catch those 50-50 balls for you. Again, though, I mean, like, how often is he going to get on the field? So what else does he do other than play receiver? Because Keenan Allen's on the field, and DJ's on the field, and Roman's on the field, and Tyler Scott's on, like, It's fine that he's a good receiver. That's cool. That's wonderful. But there's no room for him. This is a good position to be in for the Bears. Usually the Bears are in a position where, like, hey, we got this dude that in the back end of the group that may be really, really good. He may be able to be our number two guy. The Bears are past that in the process of building the team now. They know who their top end guys are. I remember a couple of years ago, they came into camp and it was like 12, 14 receivers, and we couldn't identify who the number two receiver was.
Right. We've come a long way, sir.
We've come a long way from that kind of process. So I think it's really good that they're going to cut good players this year. The Bears are going to have guys that they cut that get signed on other teams. That doesn't usually happen around here. Usually you don't make the Bears team, you don't play in the league no more. Like, that's just it. So, you know, they've gotten to a place now where they're going to have some tough roster decisions on the back end. And the guys they cut, all of them may not clear waivers because they're probably good enough to play for somebody else.
It's wild. Like, you're really putting it in perspective when you say that. I know we're looking at the receiver, and that's one thing where we've got it stored away. We know exactly what's going to happen. Same can be said at linebacker, at defensive back. That offensive line, though, man, it's a little bit of a concern to me. Do we know where guys are right now, like, as far as health-wise? Because we've seen some people, you know, not play, and we're like, well, where are they? And even the ramp-up to get ready for a regular season. We've got the extra week these days between the end of a preseason and the start of the regular season. But how do you see things, especially with the injury to Larry Borum, even – in the last preseason game?
Yeah, that's a critical thing that happened with him. That's definitely going to impact, you know, depending on what the injury is and the length of it, that's going to impact what they do. But I think the biggest thing is Ryan Bates, right? His injury, and he's been out for a while. Like I said, we don't specifically know what he's dealing with or a timetable for his return. But even if he was healthy, right, if Nate Davis is going to be your starting right guard, just based off the fact that Ryan Bates had to spend so much time at right guard while Nate Davis was out, and then Nate Davis, and then Ryan Bates himself goes out, you got to just let Coleman Shelton be the center now. I don't know that you can change that this late in the program, kind of on the fly. And so I think they go with what they have right now, left to right, with Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis, and Darnell Wright. And then that would leave you looking at, you know, Larry Borm as your swing tackle. He goes down yesterday. You don't know what that looks like. They did just bring up Kieran Amagaji, but he missed the entire spring and summer. I don't know that you're ready to throw him out there in a game if your tackle goes down. And so that starts to impact your numbers. And, you know, are you looking at Aviante Collins? Are you looking at Jake Curran? Like what other guys will get an opportunity depending on what that Larry Borm injury looks like? And so I think you start to get really, really concerned about their depth at offensive tackle specifically. I know we came into this whole process talking about what the interior of that offensive line looks like, but if Ryan Bates is going to be okay, then they have some decent depth on the interior. They got four guys that you feel okay with for those three spots. I don't know that they have three guys in terms of tackles, including a swing, that you feel comfortable with, especially if Larry Borm isn't available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And just some quick breaking news here. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Just a few minutes ago, Maddie Lee of the Sun-Times tweeted out that David Bodie of the Cubs has been designated for assignment to make room on the 40-man roster. They claim right-handed pitcher Gavin Hollowell from Arizona and option him to AAA Iowa. That according to Maddie Lee of the Sun-Times. And Herb, the way that, but you know, some of the very pointed questions that you end up getting to ask with you and the collective media there of Matt Eberflus, I always loved the perspective that you're able to sort of weave into your question when you're talking to Flus about that. And when you're asking him about Caleb and the development of Caleb Williams, I'm always intrigued by some of that back and forth that you have with Flus. What's your impression, you know, whether it is things that Matt Eberflus has directly said to you or what you read into the way he's described the development to this point of Caleb Williams? How far along do you feel like the Bears believe their rookie quarterback is?
I think they think he's either right on track or slightly above where they thought he would be at this point in time. I think they've been very, very impressed with all the intangibles, right? His leadership ability, his work ethic, his desire to get better on a daily basis, his willingness to take on coaching, to ask questions, to want to improve and not make the same mistakes more than once. So I think they've been very, very impressed with that. And then you look at what he's doing out on the field. I think he's been impressive there too. All the things that you heard about him being able to do, at some point you've seen him do that. You've seen the poise in the pocket. You've certainly seen the ability to make the plays out on the edge and throw with accuracy. On the move, you've seen him use his athleticism to pick up a first down. You've seen all these types of things that he's able to do in terms of his actual arm talent, and then the intangibles are there as well. So I think they really, really are genuinely pleased with his progress. Now, how are they going to go about approaching that as they get into the season? Do they try and put the weight of this offense on his shoulder? I don't think that would be the wise thing to do super early. Now, he, again, may continue to show that he's ahead of the curve and that he's ready to take on that challenge, but I would let that be a slow process. They should be able to run the ball effectively. They seem to have a really good feel for the play-action game throughout the preseason. They've been using those bootlegs and counters and things like that. So I think they've been doing those things at a really, really high level, and I think they should continue to do those things, at least early on. And then if he's able to handle those things, then fine. You want to let him throw it 40, 45 times, open it up a little later. But early on, I say lean on that defense, lean on the running game, and allow him to make the plays when he needs to, but don't force him to.
We're all paying attention to that offense, right? Because Caleb Williams, at the end of the day, that's the biggest question mark slash this is what we need to come to full fruition, whether that takes a season, a couple of seasons, whatever. There's a lot of confidence right now around town about Caleb Williams. The same really hasn't been said about the defensive line, although a move today could change the way people feel about that, including the Bears themselves. They go out and they get Daryl Taylor, a linebacker from the Seahawks, to help that pass rush. How do you see this move, and how much do you think it will help the Bears in their attempts to get to the opposing quarterback?
I guess I'll go all cliche on it, right? You can't ever have enough pass rushes, am I right, Ant? Like you need more, right? They've got this is a guy who's got 21 and a half sacks over the last 3 years, so that's some legitimate production right there. Certainly the Bears needed help. They obviously tried to go after Judon, that did not work out. And so they kind of pivot to maybe their, you know, option B or whatever it may be. But I think that there's a guy who can come in and help you in those passing situations, right? We know we're going to kick DeMarcus Walker inside on third and obvious. And then you got to bring in somebody else to play the other side. I've been very impressed with what we've seen from Austin Booker so far, but we're still talking about a fifth-round rookie who's got to acclimate himself to the NFL level and is trying to find some different moves. He's shown some counter moves, too. I've been impressed with Austin Booker. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't super, like, a lot of people were like super excited out the gate. I'm like, every year we do this about a fifth round pick.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
We did it about Dominique Robinson, right?
Yeah, we did it about Dominique Robinson. It goes back to like Roy Robertson Harris and Travis Gibbs. It's just what we do. But I'll tell you what, he has been impressive. And you do see some of the counter moves. He's got a spin move. You see his hand placement. So I've been impressed with him. That being said, I still think they needed to add something to that room, and there's a lot of talk about could they find guys off the street and Yannick and other guys, and you know, you talk about this point of year where 90-man rosters, 32 teams, anybody that's on the street right now isn't all that likely to one either be healthy or be able to help you. So I think they went out and did what they thought they needed to do to add to that room. I don't know that he's going to be the savior, but what you're hoping is that there's a collective group of guys that can be better than their individual parts. And so to take advantage of the one-on-ones that you are afforded by playing opposite Montez Sweat.
Listen, I see you as a guy who's in the know because you're over there every day. I just have to know, have you given a win total prediction yet?
I have not, but I recently moved the needle in my head just a little bit.
Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, I was right around 10-7 for most of the summer. I look at their schedule, and I feel like those first 9 games is where they should be able to make some hay. They should be able to start early and get out to at least 6-3 record. And then that last 8 games, really, really tough. All 6 of your division games, you go to San Francisco, you get Seattle coming in here. And so if you can go 6-3 on those first 9, then those back 8, you can go 4-4 and still get yourself to 10 wins is what I was kind of thinking. I still feel that way, but I actually feel a little bit better than that. I feel like they may be able to get another win either to get themselves to 7-2 or maybe have a 5-3 on the back end. And so I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Wait,
a little bit.
7-2 or 5-3 on the back end? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think they could potentially get to 7-2 on those first 9 or perhaps get to 5-3 on the back 8.
So maybe like a 12-win team.
I'm not a mathematician, but I could add 7-5.
I'm at 11-6, so I'm not saying they're going to do both. I'm saying they can do either one.
Okay, right? I got you.
I'm not going to give them an extra game on each half.
At first I thought you were saying 12-5, and I was like, whoa.
No, that's why I said I just moved the needle just a little bit, just one game. So right now I'm at 11-6. I think this can be an 11-win team. Now, you got to talk about health, and you're obviously going to talk about the continued development of Caleb Williams. But as I look at this defense first, right, I know the offense is the sexy conversation and Keenan Allen and Rome and Caleb. But, man, this defense can be legit. Now, they got to stay healthy, and Jarvon Dexter has to be who we hope he can be. But if he is
– top 5?
Listen, man, I think so, right? Oh. I think they're that good. I think the back 7 is bananas, man. You've seen Kyler Gordon miss damn near the whole summer. He comes back and just dominates.
Out of a cannon. Came back
all
out of a cannon.
Over the field. It's like, bro, do you know you've been out for like a month?
Like chill, man. Just chill.
Like for real. So you hope Jaquan can have a similar return from his little hiatus or whatever, but I just look at that defense and the level that Jalen Johnson is playing at right now affords them the opportunity to play a myriad of coverages, disguise some things, lean the coverage certain ways, bring some blitzes. Because right now, even when Joe Burrow and Cincinnati came to Hallis Hall, nobody's looking at Jalen Johnson. They're not targeting him, man. The Bears put up a video after that joint practice of Jalen Johnson, defending their receivers. And I think it's about 4 or 5 passes. That was all he saw. Like, it wasn't nothing other than that. That was his whole entire day right there. Those four or five passes, and he had like three PBUs and the other two were incompletions. Like, it just, he is playing at such a level right now. And so you look at him and Montez Sweat, they've got playmakers at every single level of this defense. If they can stay healthy and just get a little bit from that other end, develop some of these younger guys and talk about Javon or Austin or whomever it's going to be, I think this defense can be really, really good. They're going to keep this offense in every single game, and this offense should be good enough to make enough plays to take advantage of it. And they're going to have short fields too, because Torrey Taylor is a weapon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Herb Howard is getting us lathered up on a afternoon, man. And serious, man. There's no game this weekend. And I'm just like, maybe Herb is convincing me that I should move my needle as well.
Yeah, right.
But you know, Herb, I can't wait till the next time we talk, because I'm definitely bringing up this back end of the conversation right here. But we really appreciate you joining us on 670 The Score, man.
Absolute pleasure, man. Great to see y'all up there.
All right, thanks,
Herb. So Herb Howard coming in talking about possibly
11, 12 wins.
11 and 12. He at first I thought he was saying 12 and 5, and I was like, whoa. And then he dialed
it back. Wasn't far off.
Yeah, he's only one. But
11 and 6.
You know, we could talk about this. We got a couple more hours to talk about things.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, we got the conversation about the quarterbacks around the league, especially the youth that's being served right now with some of the rookies that are going to be starting in this sport, but also biggest concern, because there's a lot of positivity, and Herb just stoked those flames. I know the Bears fans listening on the Odyssey app are driving around right now. They heard that. It was music to a lot of folks' ears, but it's an imperfect roster still, even at this point.
See, there you go, bringing reality back into the fold. You know, that's okay. That's what we're here to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our Bears conversation. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron, hanging out with you, Score Afternoons, here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.